Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
We're going to go to my scripture this morning. Thank God for this mashup. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Okay. I'm learning how to do all this computerized stuff. Okay. Amen. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Amen. Those are the scriptures. We're going to talk about stress. That's my topic for this mashup. Amen. Stress in the mashup. Okay. We're going to talk a little bit about this chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians. Apostle Paul was the apostle at this time, and he had wrote a letter to the church of Corinth. And at the time, there were a lot of things going on. The people of Corinth didn't really like Apostle Paul too much at this time. He had to send Titus to go speak to the people because, just like, you know, some of us, things were being said according to the Bible. There was teachers, false teachers, that had spoken against Apostle Paul, and a lot of the people in Corinth had believed it. They did not really care for Apostle Paul. They felt like he was not qualified to be an apostle. They felt like he was impulsive, that he was a dishonest person. They didn't like the way he talked. They didn't like his appearance. And because of that, they had a lot of opinions about him. So at this time, he sent Titus, and Titus went to go speak and to speak to the people, and things became better. But just like in this scripture, there are a lot of things in life that we go through, a lot of things that we endure. And just like the very first verse, it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. In the very beginning of everything, we have to understand that it is God's mercy that will get us through anything and everything that we will ever go through in life. That is because God's love and God's enduring power to keep us where we are. Sometimes we don't really realize how gracious God is, just to see about the everyday things of our own lives, the things that we go through, the things that affect us. We don't always know how to process those things. And, you know, even in ministries is not just preaching and declaring the gospel of God. It's servitude, denying of yourself. It is being that person that is able to do for others, and just to keep the process, to keep going. You know, just look at yourself, where you are in your ministry right now. Look at where you are in your level of salvation, your walk with God. Look at where you are as a woman or as a man of God. Look at yourself as who you are as a child of God, as a husband or mother or career person. Just look at yourself. Look at the things that you have gone through. Look at the things that you have experienced, and to continue to not give up. And so it's important, because it is God's grace and mercy that keeps us from failing, from falling, from not wanting to do, not wanting to persevere, not wanting to keep pressing our way. We have to understand that there will always be things in life that we'll go through, that we'll experience, that we might feel like we're up against. We might have a lot of things going on at one time, but it's never for you to fail. You know, God always wants to see you through. God always wants you from where you are in the beginning. He don't want you to stay there. He doesn't want you to stop. He always wants you to be better. He always wants you to go forward. He always wants you to grow, to progress, to mature, to elevate, to be more successful, to be more loving, to have more faith, to have more joy, to have more peace. And a lot of times along the process of life, we tend to faint. We tend to stop. We resist the process of life. And we feel like because at one point we had one understanding of our life and now there's a whole different understanding, there's a whole different level of responsibility, we tend to stagnate. And God does not want you to stagnate. He does not want you to stop doing what you're doing because of the things that are occurring in your life. He has given you the ability to process it and to go through it. Amen. And we're going to drop down to the verse 6 because it's so important, because it says, you know, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness have shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He has commanded light to be in our lives. There are so many times that where there can be dark areas of our lives. Sometimes it is our inability to trust, our inability to believe, our inability to be obedient. It's the things that we have hidden in our heart that people are not aware of, that people do not see, those things that causes us to not totally be open or transparent to God. And God wants us to understand that he has come to shine light to that. And the light is not always just illuminating those areas that are hidden or showing those things that are in darkness that, you know, other people don't see. A lot of times it can just be God bringing forth the knowledge of who he is and who his son is, Jesus Christ. A lot of times we don't allow Christ to really come into our lives to allow us to see that there are dark areas there. Sometimes we don't realize that our attitude is as bad as what it really is because we say, you know, this, I don't care. Hallelujah. So sometimes when we go through those areas in our life and we don't allow God to come in, he's not able to change those things that are not so transparent or obvious to your naked eye, but to everyone else. Hallelujah. Amen. So even in those processes in God is always showing us ourselves. He always wants us to be aware of where we are and where we're going. Sometimes, you know, we tend to look at our past, but our past doesn't hinder our process in God because he still wants us to know that who we are and where we're going. And we have to understand that it is through him and through him shining those lights to those areas in our lives to allow us to see those things that, you know, sometimes we don't ask God for certain things and God just tells us. You know, those times that we have those attitudes and those times that we're just not just as nice as we should be. And sometimes people that are around us just don't want to deal with us and they just don't bring it up. They don't say, well, you know, they get tired of telling you over and over again. And you recognize that God still says, you know, you should have did that differently. You need to apologize. You need to change your way of thinking. You're too negative. Your attitude is nasty. You need to get yourself together. Hallelujah. So God has those abilities to do what no one else can do. He has the ability to command things to occur in your life. And that is beyond your own will. That is beyond your power. That is beyond your own existence, your creation, beyond your own intellect. God can command certain things to happen in your life. And those can be good things, you know, depending on your perception. And those also can be bad things because sometimes when God brings things in your life, you know, because we don't understand it, we don't have the knowledge of it because we're not searching for certain things. We're not being open to God. We don't, you know, seek God for everything. We don't always know what to seek God for each and every day. That's why we pray every day, because those things that God brings to us, we don't always ask for, and we don't always know how to handle it. on how to deal with it, how to process it, how to balance it in our lives. And a lot of times we struggle with the things that God says and what the things God wants us to do and what God wants us to be. You know, it, sometimes we get at a crossroad where we're overwhelmed, and God doesn't want us to be overwhelmed. You know, sometimes, you know, this mashup is life applicable to me. And this teaching about stress is applicable to me because that is just where I am, you know, in my life, trying to juggle my life, trying to balance my life and who I am for the things that I know that God has brought into my life and the things that I desire, making a balance that if God commands it, if God allows it, then it's okay. You know, sometimes we're not okay with what or who God brings into our lives. You know, sometimes some of have issues with, you know, people have God has called us to, you know, we don't understand why God has called us to certain people, why certain people are in our lives, you know, why our parents are, God, why you give me my parents? Why out of all the people you gave me those to? You know, we struggle with the fact that, okay, well, God, you know, where I am in my life, you know, I thought I would be someplace different. I thought I would be in a different place. And those things are all things that we all go through. Those are all things that we all tend to question and ask God and have to process through. Those things are a part of life. And sometimes as a believer, we struggle with just life. We just struggle with how to process God and salvation in our everyday life. So God is going to help us. He's going to help us this morning. Amen. Going to verse 6, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And sometimes, you know, when I read this scripture, I don't know about some of y'all, but when I read, I don't like reading aloud or reading before people, because how my brain functions as I read something, if I assume this is how I want that sentence to end, or I assume or how I think it's going to end, I'll just add words. And even in this scripture, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Sometimes before it even came, you know, the excellency of the power, you know, I always just automatically assume that God is talking about the power in us, and it's not the power in us. Yes, we are. You know, there is a treasure within us, but that is God's Holy Spirit, is God that is the treasure. You know, his holiness, his loving kindness, his peace, his joy, those are the treasures on the inside of us. His word, the Holy Spirit, that's the true treasure. There's no power within us without God. You know, it's not the power that of our own, because if we had the power to control certain things, we wouldn't be where we were right there now. We wouldn't. That's my word, Jesus, right there now. I wouldn't be where I am right now if I had so much power. And sometimes we deceive ourselves because we feel like, you know, we can will certain things. You know, if I pray long enough and if I believe God long enough for the things that I really want, that is really going to happen. And that's not always so, because we can want so many things, but where does it lead us back to God? Where does it lead us back to having joy and peace and happiness and salvation and prosperity and wholeness and deliverance and healing? Those things are not always in us, you know, because some of the things that are in me is anger and frustration and bitterness and confusion and, you know, insecurities and doubts and fears. Those are the things that are in me. You know how when you were in art class when you were younger and, you had to create those little clay pots. And you know how you were in class and they said, get this clay and mix it with water and make sure your hands are wet, and how you had to shape it and mold it, and how, you know, you would look at how you molded things compared to how other people molded things. How they molded their pots versus your pots, and how you would see those little holes and imperfections in it, and how, you know, the rim of your pot was thinner, you know. And then they said, well, you know, you're going to have to put it in the oven. We're going to have to cook it on high. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all been in elementary? Y'all been in elementary in art class? And they said, we're going to make these pots. And you get so excited, honey, you think you done did it. You done did it, right? And when you get your pot back, and because you had to get that little toothpick and initial your name underneath the bottom of your pot, and you get that pot back, and that pot is leaning to the side, and it got gaps and holes in it, and you like, this ain't my pot. This is not my pot. My pot look a mess. I like that person's pot better. It came out better. And so that's just how we are, you know, naturally. Sometimes we feel like we are in a better place than we really are, and we're not. We're that messed up, lopsided pot that got holes in it, that's thin on the side, and we said we want somebody else's pot. But you can't. You can't have nobody else's life. You can't have nobody else's husband. I know you like, oh, if I can get another husband, if I can get somebody with some money so I don't have to work, praise God. I don't have to clean. I don't have to cook, honey. I don't have to do none of that. Somebody can clean my house. And all I got to do is look cute and exercise. You better come on with it. With my personal chef. I'm trying to help somebody. I'm just trying to help somebody. So when we look at those things, what we treasure is not really valuable. That's just like the jewelry that we buy. It might look real, but it's fake. You might get it, and you're going to put that clear polish on that gold, because I love gold. But gold is hard to buy. Fake gold is hard to buy. It's all kind of colors to fake gold. It's hard to match that thing up. And then when you get it, you got to put that clear fingernail polish on and let it dry so it don't turn as fast. I don't know if anybody done that before. But back in the day, we had the little Nefertiti earrings from the hair store. Back when we had cross colors, the outfits, I know kids don't know what cross colors is. You had them block shorts. You had them Nefertiti earrings. We used to go to that dollar store and used to get those 99-cent clear fingernail polish. Leather in the front of the jeans. You better come on now. That was back in the day, Carl Kanai. British Knights. So, you know, a lot of times we feel like, you know, we don't understand that it's not always going to be in us. That excellency, that power, it all has to come from God. Yes, God has the ability to use us greatly. God has the ability to show so many strengths within us. The areas that, you know, I felt that I was the weakest in, you know, now has become my strength, because I had to utilize and press through those weak areas when God told me to do certain things. I could not continue to rely on insecurity or fears or uncomfortability, because God just wanted me to do it. So in the process of processing through those things, I had learned to overcome those things by keep pushing and pressing my way to accomplish the things that God wanted me to accomplish. Not always the things that I wanted in life, but the things that God wanted me to do as it relates to, you know, serving in ministry, as it relates to being a better wife, as it relates to being a better mother, as it relates to being a better career person, to be a better woman of God, a better woman, to be, you know, just be at peace with myself. I had to change those things that I felt were insecurities to me. And we're talking about verse 8 next. And it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. And just look, just listen to that. Look at that. It says, we are troubled on every side, yet we're not distressed. We're not moved by everything going on every side, in every area of your life. Things can be going on, but I'm not stressed. I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to allow it to consume me or weigh me down or alter my personality or my behavior, because a lot of times when we have things going on, you know, we can get sharp in our tones. We can get, you know, mean, and we can, you know, get very distant or, you know, oppositional, and our demeanor changes and our personality changes. And we don't just want to, we don't want to be bothered with people because we got things going on, and we don't want to talk to people now because now we got stuff going on. And, but they said, I'm not distressed. If you got things going on, that shouldn't alter your personality or your behavior. Those are things. They are trying to affect you. Those are things that are oppositions or trials or tests or processes. Those things should not alter your behavior. You should remain the same, because things come and go, right? Every second, you just keep moving on. Time waits for no one. Remember that? Each and every second, we're all aging. It doesn't stop. It doesn't go back, because we don't want it to. It just keeps moving. And it says we're perplexed. Like, wow, like, we just don't know what's going on. Isn't it funny how, you know, there's times in our life where we just don't know how to reason or how to describe or how to even vocalize the things that we're going through. You know, sometimes when people are abused, they quite often don't even know how to express the level of abuse or trauma or level of pain or level of shame or how to respond, or how to even develop a feeling or response from it. You know, sometimes we don't even know how to attach certain behaviors or certain responses as it relates to the things that occur in our life, you know, directly or indirectly, you know. But they said, but I'm not in despair. You know, though things might be happening in my life, things might be going on, I'm not stressed about it. I'm not moved about it. I'm not going to be overwhelmed. I'm not going to be discombobulated. I'm not going to be, even though I don't really understand the things that I have going on in my life right now, I can't really process it. I cannot even really express it in words. I'm not going to be in despair. I'm not going to be heavy about it. I'm not going to be depressed about it. I'm not going to be weighed down about it. I'm not going to be heavy about it. And I was like, wow, like, just think about the things in within ministry, the things that you've had to endure. And just think about how you processed it. You know, this is a time of self-reflection on the people that you came across in ministry, the people that you mentor, the people that you influenced the people that you had issues with. Look at how you processed it, how you dealt with it, how your behavior was, how your mindset was, how it had affected you. And these are the things that God wants to talk about. Hallelujah. And now we're going to go to this life application, right? Because, you know, we got to bring it in on another level. Okay. We're going to talk about stress, right? And some of y'all know I'm back in school or whatever. And this class called pathophysiology. And those of you that do not know what pathophysiology is, the breakdown of patho, the word itself, it means suffering or it means disease. That's what patho is. And then when you look at physiology, it means the study of a physical, whether it's mechanical, biochemical functions of a living organism. So basically, pathophysiology is the study of diseases or certain levels of suffering within a living organism. And that study is how it affects your body, the things that you might go through, all the things that might possibly occur in your body, in your life, you know, as it relates to your level of suffering or disease. And a lot of times, you know, us as believers, we don't know how to deal with our level of stress, our level of responsibility. Because of the things that we go through, we don't know how to deal with our stress or handle our stress or deal with the responsibility that God has given us as it relates to what he gives us. And God doesn't want us to be like that because, you know, in life, there are always going to be things that are going to occur, but it should not affect you. It should not bring disease upon you. It should not cause you, allow you to suffer, because God doesn't want you to suffer. You know, God wants you to be in the best place you can be that you can ever possibly be in. And even in the process of pathophysiology, I'm going back because this is all going to make sense. There's a term called homeostasis. And homeostasis is basically means that where all your systems that are in an ideal point of balance, meaning that all your health systems, all your organisms, your lungs, your heart is functioning, your kidneys, your brain is functioning. Everything is functioning in the most ideal level, that everything is balanced. Everything is balancing itself out. Now, the term allostasis means that there are normal alterations in your homeostasis, the balance of things, of all the ideal set point, the ideal balance of all the things that you got going on. The allostasis are the normal alterations needed to survive different circumstances. So your body has its own way of understanding how things work, how everything should flow and how everything should run, how everything should be balanced. And when there is different things that naturally come to alter that homeostasis, the body knows how to fix it. So an example of allostasis is somebody that has pneumonia. And when a person has pneumonia, they're short of breath. So because their body is trying to deal with the pneumonia in their lungs, the infection in their lungs. So the response that the body has is the increased rate of respirations, because your body is trying to get back to its normal place. Okay. I ain't trying to go too deep. Your body has a way, when things happen, to get it back to where it should be, which is ideal for your life, ideal for your body, ideal for your health. There are mechanisms that your body goes through natural things occurring, to get it back in line. Okay. Now, there is a man called Selye. Now, he's old. He old and he dead. I know he dead. Back in 1936, he developed the general adaptation syndrome. And back then, he used rats. He put all kinds of stuff, hormones in rats, toxins in rats, and different type of tissue. I mean, thank God it was no Pima, because he wouldn't have made it. He wouldn't have made it, wouldn't he? No, he wouldn't have made it. But in through all these various tests, he discovered in all these rats that they went through the same thing. They had enlarged adrenal cortex, and I'll explain what that is. That had an atrophy of the thymus gland or the lymphoid structures, and I'll explain what that is. And they had development of bleeding ulcers of the stomach. And I remember during the summertime, Apostle talked about there was a season and a time where he just couldn't eat certain things. Because when he was school, he was smart. He wanted a certain GPA. And he was really, really trying to get the highest grade he can possibly get before he goes to college. And he talked about how it stressed him out. And how, as a teenager, I believe he said at the age of 16, he developed stomach ulcers. And I know we hear sometimes where, you know, stress can cause ulcers. And sometimes we just think it's a cliche, but physically you can develop ulcers from stress. And his body, the rat's bodies were going to things, and he did all kinds of tests repeatedly. And the thymus, which a lot of women know, has to do with your thyroid, and your thyroid affects your metabolism. It also affects weight gain or weight loss. Your thyroid can affect your sleep pattern. It can affect your hair. Your thyroid, whether it is too much or too less, you can have weight gain or weight loss. So women understand the thyroid more so than men, because, you know, women are more hormonal. And sometimes with pregnancy and just with age, things can affect our thyroid more so than males. But even as it relates to your adrenal glands and the adrenal cortex, and I'm going to make sure that I explain this well so that I don't lose anybody so that we all have an understanding. And your adrenal glands, they're in your kidneys. And it also has corticosteroids, hormones, cortisol, which is glucose and sugar, and androgen, which is another hormone. And this is important because it's going to make sense. I'm just pulling something up real quick. And those androgens and stuff, they affect fluid. The fluid intake and increase, it goes through your kidneys. And it affects your level of your balance of hydration, kidney function, your kidneys. It filtrates. Everything goes through your kidneys. And also your kidneys is the backup blood supply of your red blood cells of your blood. So that's why people that have kidney failure, quite often they have a low blood level. But anyway, but your androgens are also your sex hormones. And the testosterone hormone in males. So a lot of times when you go through things and we feel like, okay, you know, as people become adults and you have stress and, you know, and you're wondering why, like, you know, your intimacy drive is just not there as a female, not there as a male. You know, your stomach is bothering you. Just like, you know, like sometimes some of us, you know, your stomach gets upset, like before you have to preach. Oh, your stomach is hurting. You run into the bathroom. Just everything is going on. You just, you know, just all messed up. You just, your stomach's not right. You can't eat. You just feel queasy. You just feel nauseated. It's everything. Your body goes through these ways trying to figure out how to adapt. And Selye, he found that cold, surgeries, and restraint increase stress. You know how you hear all these stories about people like being out in the cold, hypothermia, and what your body goes through when you're in extreme cold, and you know how, you know, your body starts shuts down, and you know when you are going through stress from surgery, your body is physically going through aches and pains and uncomfortabilities. You know, like when you feel like you're restrained, and a lot of us feel like at some points in our lives we're restrained. We're in bondage in certain phases of our life. We feel unrestricted. We feel like we can't move. Like we don't know what the next thing to do. Like, you know, we just feel like we don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to behave. We don't know how to act. We don't know how to get from point A to point B. We don't know how to come out from where we are to get to the place where God wants us to be. And those things cause us stress. It causes stress in our lives. And I'm saying this because I want us to be able to identify the things that affect us in life that shouldn't. Because just like allostasis and homeostasis, those things that are ideal and those things that come to alter how your body is able to bring things back, it's the same thing with stress. There are three stages of stress. There's an alarm stage. It's the most common stage everybody always know, the fight or flight. Whether you want to deal with it or whether you're going to run away from it, that's the most common area of stress that we always hear. And I don't know if y'all remember the sympathetic nervous system. Your sympathetic nervous system is the ability for your body to automatically do certain things or respond to certain things. And it's either going to be fight or flight. So either you're going to be dealing with it head on, or you're going to be running away from it. You're going to be fearful. And sometimes in life, we don't know how to deal with the stress. So the things that we should be fighting, we're running away from. And the things that we should be running away from, we're trying to fight. We're perplexed. We don't know how to deal with it. We don't know how to process it. We don't know how to deal with the things that come at us. We don't know how to handle those things. And, you know, physically, our body goes through so much. I mean, physically, you know, within our brain, your hypothalamus. In definition of the hypothalamus, it says it is the size of a pea. Okay. It's in your brain. And it weighs less than 1% of the rest of your brain. And your hypothalamus is so important because your hypothalamus controls your blood pressure. It controls your respiration, your breathing rate. It controls your appetite. It controls your ability to thirst. It controls your emotions. And the two main emotions are rage and pleasure. Interesting, huh? It controls your body temperature. It controls your sex drive, your sleep cycles. All these things is wrapped up to an area in your brain that's the size of a pea. That's less than 1%. Just think about that. All those things that small area of your body, how God has created it to function and operate. And just look at the things even within your life. You're not the size of a pea. Look at the things that you have to do in your life. And look at how all those things have affected you. How it has affected your relationship with your spouse. How it has affected your ability to sleep. How it has caused you to gain weight. How it has caused just anger and rage. You're always frustrated. You're always irritated. Just that small area affects your blood pressure. People say, you know what? No, cause my blood pressure to go up. The things that we hear, we don't even realize how much it really, truly affects us. Not only does your hypothalamus control that, but it also controls your hormones. It controls women, oxytocin. Women that have had children know exactly what oxytocin is. It helps your uterus to contract back after you've had a baby. Helps to bring it back. And it also works when they want to induce your labor, to try to help you herp and have that baby. It also helps with your breast milk. And those contractions hurt. They call them false labor contractions when they induce your labor to make you contract so you can hurry up and have the baby. It affects your breast milk. What else does it affect? Your kidney function. Your anti-diuretic hormones. What is that? It is a hormone that affects fluid. It affects an increase of absorption of water in your body. When it's not acting right, when your brain is not acting right, when you're stressed out, all that, Them kidney function mess up. When you go through certain stressors, they stop functioning as well. Let's talk about the cortisol part of stress. How it's called the corticotropin releasing hormone. It helps to regulate your metabolism and your immune response. And think about all the times that some of us that when we go through stress, we gain weight. Because your body is responding to the stress that's in your life, how your blood sugar can be elevated because of the stress that's in your life. Let's talk about the immune system. How when you got stress in your life and it's increased, it can cause you can get sick. Just think of how some of us, when we are trying to get right with God, we're trying to get delivered from certain things, we're trying to change our lives, and some of us physically get sick right after we get delivered, right after we get the hands laid on us, right after we lay it on the floor, worshiping, crying out to God, made up in our mind, we running for Jesus, we're not turning back, and then all of a sudden, we have sinus problems. We got a cold. Our immune system gets weak because the devil doesn't want us to change. He wants to develop stress in our life so that when God wants to do things, when God wants to get us to be to a point to respond to the things that are coming in our life, that response is sickness. It's headaches, it's migraines, it's upset stomach. And God wants us to be able to identify those things because God has given us the ability, our body ability to handle stress. You can handle your stress. Everything that you got going on in your life, God has given you the ability to handle it. You can handle it. You can handle any attack, any test, juggling 5 different things, 3 different things, 10 different things, juggling your kids, ministry, job, wife, husband, family, friends. You can handle it. Because God has made you to handle it. Physically as well as spiritually. You can handle it. You can handle the stress right now that is in your life. You can handle it. Your body does not have to be altered. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to gain weight. You don't have to, hair don't have to fall out. You don't have to be frustrated. You don't know how to talk. You don't know how to think. You don't know how to act. You don't know how to behave. You don't know how to balance. You don't know how to cope. You don't know how to deal. You don't know how to fight for things. You don't know how to just run away from things. You don't know how to run away from things. You don't know how to fight for things. You can do it. Yes, you can. You can do it. Because even in the stages of stress, now we talked about the alarm stage. Now, the next is the resistance stage, where your body is going through those things. You're going through those things you're going through. This is what I call looking crazy. Now, I haven't said that term in a long time, but this is the stage that I say, I'm tired of looking crazy, God. Because there was a time in my life that I was looking crazy. And I had said that so much. I am tired of looking crazy, God. I'm tired of looking crazy, God. That's how I said it. And there were days I had to cry that thing. Because there was a resistance stage to the things that God was alarming me about. Because just like an alarm clock, God wants you to be alert. He wants you to be aware. He wants you to be attentive to the things that are happening in your life, to all the things that are going on, to the level of stress, like I was saying, you know, your body, your sex drive, your emotions, your brain, your weight. You know, it affects your blood pressure. It affects your respiration rate. You know, you can get sick from that, affect your immune system. Here we go in resistance. And here we go in the I'm tired looking crazy, God. Because this is the area where you're trying to get all these things together. And your body going through all these things, you're trying to adapt to these changes, to these things in your life that you're going through. You're trying to learn how to adapt to it. And we need to learn how to adapt to the things that God has us going through. It's not in sorrow. It's not in pain. It's not in depression. He's not beating you down. He's not, you know, wanting you to go through. He's not trying to make you look bad. He's not trying to embarrass you. He's not trying to bring you to shame. But this is the stage where I'm tired of looking crazy, God, where you are going through that resistance, trying to figure out how to adapt to the change that God has going on in your life right now. Because in the time of I'm looking crazy, God, were the things that I was fighting with, because I wanted to change. I wanted to be better. I wanted to live for God. I wanted to be saved. I wanted to change those things that God was making me aware of, the things that, you know, God was dealing with me about. The Holy Spirit was telling me, okay, your attitude is wrong. Okay, your heart is not right. You're not forgiving. You're bitter. You know, you're distrusting. You're doubtful. You don't have faith. You know, God was dealing with me, okay, well, you got to be more disciplined. You have to be more obedient. You know, you got to be more loving. You have to be more open. You have to help somebody else. You're going through, but you still got to help somebody else. And though that stage of I'm tired of looking crazy, God, is those areas where, you know, you want to fight, you know, being indifferent because you don't know how your view is, because you might be caught up with your appearance or how people might look at you. You don't want people look at you in a bad way. You don't want people like, oh my gosh. Like, not even them looking at you and judging you. You don't want people like, I don't want to go through what she's going through. You know, and you fight that embarrassment. You fight, you know, being ashamed. You fight the process because you say to yourself, you have to count the cost of, you know, for what I want God to do in me and what God wants to take me to, am I willing to go through certain things no matter what the cost? This is where you got to count the cost up comes from. So in that process, I'm learning how to change. Be willing to change. The resistance is that I'm trying to figure it out. I'm not willing always to go through those uncomfortabilities. I'm not willing to go through, how do I look like? What do people see seeing me? You know, do I look bad? You know, or, you know, can I even do what God is calling me to do? Those things, I'm learning how to adapt to it. Because if I don't adapt to change the areas that God wants me to change so that I don't stay in that level of stress, sickness, anger, frustration, doubt, fear, insecurity, you know, I might stay in that place of rebellion, you know, failure, despair. I might stay in that place because your body wants you to be able to adapt and to resist so you don't remain permanently the way you are. And a lot of us need to change. Our attitude, it needs to be better. We need to be more loving. We need to have more faith. We need to be more obedient. We need to be more submitted to God. We need to be more giving. Yes, we do. We need to talk to people more outside of the people in your house that you're tormenting. Hallelujah, amen. Because y'all are so crazy acting to the people that's in y'all house. And God is not pleased.
how y'all deal with each other, how y'all talk to each other, how y'all put stress on each other. I ain't gonna do it. I ain't cleaning. I'm not cooking. I'm not helping you. No, I'm not doing it. Good morning. I'm not talking back. I'm not saying good morning to you. I'm not gonna be loving to you. Everything you tell me, I'm just not gonna do. I'm gonna resist everything you tell me to do. Y'all need to stop. Y'all looking crazy. Y'all should be tired of looking crazy. And you need to change. Before those areas that God is trying to bring you out of bitterness and darkness and unforgiveness, before that stuff gets stuck in you. God wants you to be better. And it's not just what people see, it is what God sees. God sees you. There's always somebody looking, baby. Even when you don't think people see. It shows. You can only hide for a little bit. It's going to come all the way through. You just got to wait. And you'll tell on yourself. I'm talking about myself too. I'm not leaving myself out. I'm talking about myself too. So you have to understand, because if you don't learn to, in this resistance and adaptation stage of stress, because this process is trying to prevent you from being damaged permanently. Damage, death. And in the last stage of stress is the exhaustion stage. It's where you've had the same level of stress over and over and over and over again, repeatedly, consistently, no breaks. No breaks. Constantly angry, constantly angry, constantly frustrated, constantly negative, constantly rebellious, constantly fearful, constantly doubtful. In this exhaustion stage, this is the stage where if you're not successful, that this stage causes failure, death, and damage. And just like in our lives, in the natural life, where people develop heart disease, like people say, you know, she died, but she died from a broken heart. You hear a lot of times when people that are elderly, when they've been living with, been married to someone for a long amount of time, and that person dies, usually the spouse doesn't live much longer from the time that the first spouse dies. Sometimes it's 6 months to a year. They just die. They didn't have to have any type of illnesses. It just naturally, you know, they pass away. It's like, you know, one grandparent, you know, pass away and then the other one just dies. And sometimes we don't realize how certain types of diseases and illnesses we have in our life is really according to the level of stress that we have. Because our level of inability to deal with things, to be alert and aware of things, understanding how to process and fight things and deal with things and be willing to change has caused damage to us. A lot of us are damaged goods. And that's so important that even in the kingdom of God, God is just so awesome because he's so merciful. He's merciful to us. Even though all these things that we got going on, he doesn't want us to fail. He loves us enough to save us, to deal with us, to help us along the way, to tell us about ourselves, to give us the Holy Spirit and remind us of, you know, where we're not really at. It's not to bring us to a point of giving up. It's just to show us where we are and the knowledge of that he sees and he knows everything about us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And we have to be able to understand on that in our lives, in the time that, you know, we're looking crazy, how do we pick the pieces up in our life to figure out the piece that we need versus the piece that we don't need? And it's all God. It's all God helping us to repair those areas of our life that we thought was all good, and it was not. It was damaged. It was not right. We were not right. Our heart is not right. Our mindset is not right. You know, we're distrusting. We're not as open as we should be. We're not as loving as we should be. We don't have as much faith in God, trust in God as we should. And that's not a bad thing. Because in this process, God is trying to repair us. He's trying to build us. He's trying to strengthen us. He wants to take those things out. He wants to make us aware. He's bringing us to a place of awareness to allow us to see. And some of us are just not alert enough to ourselves. We see everybody and we don't see ourselves. What a hot mess we are. God wants us to see ourselves. Sometimes in life, we just tend to naturally overlook things. Some areas of life, we just don't even touch. I'm not even gonna mess with that. And we should. And that's when God in the Holy Spirit, he said, you can't act like that. You shouldn't be like that. You shouldn't think like that. You should be forgiving. Because God doesn't want us to be permanently damaged. He wants us to bring those things, those pieces back together. He wants to make those things work. He wanted all to work in our life. And this is how amazing, how even with stress, how sometimes we could look at stress in a negative way. But sometimes that stress, even in the basis, is to make you aware of yourself, to make you woke, to cause you to see what you're not even looking at, to get things right in areas where it's just not right. You know, he doesn't want you to start and stop things. Just think about the things that you have started and stopped that nobody is aware of, because you felt like you were unsuccessful at it. Though you didn't tell anybody, though you didn't say anything, God saw it. God is looking. Those times where you're trying to develop things and you just stop. You don't go back to it. Why? Why do you stop? Why do you not keep going? Why do you not keep pressing? Why do you give up so easily? What is that? Where does that come from? What has made you be the way that you are? And a lot of those things, God, he wants to help us with. He wants to show us through. He wants to process us through. He wants to be able to allow us to see those things in order to be able to be who we are. You know, it's so important, because stress is not always bad. Stress can produce change. Remember, in stress, you can learn how to adapt to things naturally that are occurring in your life. It's not by your own work. That's not by your own power. It's the power and excellency of God. And that's why it's so important to keep God and to have God and keep a relationship with God. Some of us, you know, our prayer life is not where it should be. Our level of intimacy with God is not where it should be. We have things going on, and we're not at a place of relationship with God that we need to be. That's why we're stressed. We're not praying. We're not spending time with God. We're not allowing God to talk to us. We're not listening to God. We're not in our word. We're not trying to work on things in our life. We're not, you know, trying to go through that I'm looking crazy God phase. We're not trying to do different things. We're not trying to be open to help ourselves and help other people. We're caught into self-judgments. We're caught in indifference. We're caught in, you know, these personalities where, you know, we're nice today and then halfway through the day, you're angry and you're mad. You know, I know, like with me, like I have in my level of stress, I have developed yelling. I'm like, I'm so frustrated. And one thing is like, I told you 5 times and it is, I'm yelling. So I'm working on that. You know, God doesn't want you to die. God does not want you to fail. He doesn't want you to give up. He doesn't want the things that you have going on in your life to bring you down, to weigh you down. Just like in the scripture said, but I'm not distressed on every side, but I'm not stressed. God wants you to get to a point where you got everything going on, but you're not stressed. You're not moved. You're not angry. You're not heavy. You're hopeful. You're believing. You're joyful. You're loving to your family. You're loving to yourself. You're not acting crazy, not looking crazy. You're doing your hair. You're putting clothes on. You know, like you are trying your best to be the best individual that you can be. And God wants you to be able to understand that, you know, that God doesn't want you to be destroyed. God does not want you to be, you know, depressed. God does not want you to feel like you cannot handle things. You can handle what you are going through. You can make choices. You can make decisions. Some of us are caught up in, I'm just not going to make a decision. I'm just not going to make a choice. You need to make a choice. You need to make decisions in your life. You need to stop being stuck where you are. You need to progress. You can be successful in your life. You can be successful as a woman. You can be successful as a career man. You can be successful as a mother. You can be successful as a wife. You can be successful in your job. You can be successful. Don't allow the things in life to bring death upon you. That's not what God wants you to do. God wants you to overcome your fears, overcome your stressors. He wants you to overcome your past. Because sometimes our past brings anxiety to where we used to be. We feel like, okay, if where I'm at, if I don't get myself together, I'm going to go right on back to the same place. Isn't that what they say about drug addicts? Once a drug addict, always a drug addict. That if you don't have the mindset to be clean, what will you do? You will go right back to what you're used to, what you used to do. Right? You don't have to deal with things in anger because things are going on in your life. You don't have to respond to your family in anger. You don't have to be nasty or act nasty. Help me, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Because God is challenging you and giving you responsibility, you don't have to crash. You don't have to be chaotic. It doesn't have to bring a level of insanity to your life. You don't have to struggle with anxiety. being overwhelmed, not knowing how to cope with things, not knowing how to deal with things, how to deal with your emotions, how to deal with your mind, how to deal with your fears, how to deal with your thought. You can handle it. You can handle it. Trouble affects you when you don't know how to deal with things. We don't know how to put things in its proper balance. We don't know how to allow God to just do it. Because it's not in your power. Remember, it's in God's power. But it got to be, God has to be in you though. You have to invite him in. You have to say, God, each and every day, I bring you into my life to dwell in this temple. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your teaching. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your not. You have to tell God. You have to tell God. I want to encourage everyone on today. Stress doesn't have to break you or make you in despair. I want you to know that those things are going on in your life. It doesn't have to alter you. You can rise above any situation, any circumstance with God. That the things that are occurring in your life is not to break you. It is for you to exceed and excel. It's for you to grow. That's a good thing. He doesn't want you to be where you are. He doesn't want you to remain the same with the mundane. Nobody likes boring, right? Just that same monotonous thing over and over, day in, day out. Same thing, eating the same thing, drinking the same thing, doing the same thing, wearing the same thing. No, we don't like that, right? We like to change. We like doing things differently. We like variety, right? So just like that with God, God doesn't want any of us to fail. You have to ask God, you know, what level of my life, is this a level that I should be fighting for or running away from? Because sometimes we can attach to things that we don't even need to attach to. But if I'm not aware, if I'm not alert of those things when it comes, how do I know how to deal with it? So I want to just encourage everyone to know that you are going to be successful. You're going to be able to change, to work on those things that God is calling you to change, that you can do it. That you will not fail in all the things that we can ever possibly go through in life. We can handle it. Amen.